Father, we thank you again for the night, and it's a special time as we think back of the day you saved us, then move back into mind to the time 2,000 years ago as we think about you going to Calvary that we might have eternal life. Thank you for the precious blood. Peter calls your blood precious blood that was shed on Calvary. And dear Father, may we never forget what it cost you to redeem us. And when we see that like we should, we're going to be more than casual Christians. We're going to be more, dear Father, than just a part-time Christian. We're going to see to it that God has left us here for a purpose. Our lives are to count, even when we're not saying things at times in a busy schedule. People watching our lives. And dear Father, it's hard for us to understand how you would use man in his fallen condition, even though you redeem him and give a new creation inside him. This flesh has a lot to do about how we bring it in control for you to be able to use us and people to see Christ in us. It hinders us a lot in this life. And most of the time we let it hinder us because we just find ourselves sometimes enjoying what the flesh wants to do so much that we're allowed to go further than it should be able to go because of the new creation in Christ Jesus. So we pray again tonight that you bless us as we remember. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to just read and go into the communion. Most of us know that have this. Why? And we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and read a few verses. But what I want you to do is this. If you have family here tonight, I want you to sit together as we have communion. So if you want to do that right now, quickly do that. If you have family and you'd like to come and sit together, because when we get to heaven, family is going to be together. If you do that, and that'll get kind of everybody in the same place, and we'll take communion together. Because you see what's going to happen on the other side. There's going to come a time in the near future when we're going to sit around the table when Christ sits at the head of it. I mean, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all three are going to be there. There are a massive number of people as we take the fruit of the vine and the bread in heaven one of these days. And ladies and gentlemen, keep in mind, I don't care what the world says, and I say it with a broken heart, if a person in this world, in our families, do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they will not be sitting there. Now, there's no doubt about that. There's no hopefully afterwards when we see things and maybe God will just change his mind. There's none of that. It'll happen here in this life in time from the day we're born physically until the day we die. God will give us that time to hear this message and to make decisions about what we are going to do with Jesus Christ. More so in America in these last days than probably anywhere else in the world. Because this nation has been blessed to hear the gospel message. And now, a lot of places, a lot of folks are getting saved. Won't it be a shame? Won't it be a shame that one of these days we'll get to heaven and we'll see people there who heard the gospel in those last parts of the time that we were living in or in heaven, and there'll be literally thousands in America who heard it and heard it and heard it and never received it. You say, that can't be fair. Well, yes, it is. You take in a foreign country that hears the message one time and get saved. And many people in America have heard it many times and still not saved. And every time we hear it, it's a blessing from God. And we've been blessed to hear it. And we heard it many different ways. Sometimes it's kind of disguised in different forms and so forth. But God gets the message out. There are some places on this little planet Earth, the boondocks of the universe, ladies and gentlemen, where people have never heard the name Jesus Christ. And I believe as the heart that God sees that would receive Christ, he'll get the message to them somehow or another. We have the greatest means to get the gospel message out in our day than in history, man's history. Did you know that? We can do it and not have to be there. We can do it through the media and other ways to do it. And we have the greatest means to do it ever than ever been in history. And yet it seems like when the time that we get to that point where God has given us the means to really reach this world for Christ, there is another movement inside that's made people's minds so hard or so blinded that they refuse to hear that message when they hear it. And then I'm going to say this. It's sad to say that there are many who are preaching a message to people because they have the open of the media, but they're not preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're preaching something else for the purpose of whatever plan they have rather than the gospel of Christ. And it's a shame that in our day that there are people who, in the name of religion, are preaching a message to this world that is not the message of Jesus Christ. But thank God we have heard that. So one of these days before long, I want you to do this before we read. I want you to shut your eyes. And I want you to think of your family. And I want you to, if you can think of anything about the future, a great, fantastic meeting in heaven. And there's a tremendous table. How God's going to do it, I don't know. But I know there's going to be a tremendous table with literally thousands upon thousands of people who have been redeemed. We're going to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. And when you look at the table where you're at, did you see someone that you know that's in your family that's not going to be there? If they're still alive, we're going to do everything that we can to try to reach them. If you say, I can't, at least we want to try to give them the gospel, even if they become our enemy. I have assumed the fact that if I witness to someone about Jesus Christ, and they become my enemy because I do that, I'm still blessed by God. It's much better for them to become my enemy for giving the gospel to someone than taking advantage of them or robbing them or taking something from them. So tonight, as we think about this time we're going to do here, think about our families and realize that if they are not saved, they'll not be sitting at this table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now look with me in 1 Corinthians. Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, verse 23, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Some people say, well, read this every time. You better believe it, Luke, because it tells us why we do it. So we don't forget it. And after the same manner also, he took the cup, which he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye drink this bread, or as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthy shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Now, I believe that's the reason why a lot of people who say they're saved don't go to communion. Ladies and gentlemen, that's dangerous if one don't understand. It's much better to come and ask God to make you worthy than stay away because you think you're not worthy. It's dangerous. I know you say, well, preacher, I'm doing pretty good. People heard me say that through the years, but believe me, there's a counting day. But he said, let the man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if the world would judge ourselves, he said, if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Talking about those who have been born into the family of God. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And then he said, and if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together into condemnation. And the rest what I set in order when I come. And again, we said so many times, the church of Corinth had turned this into more of a feast than a communion. And he said, hey, you eat, if you come just to eat, stay home. But on the other hand, if you come for the purpose of what Jesus said, this, that we could remember what he's done for us, stop in our tracks in a fast-paced lane and ask him to make us worthy to partake of this. It's been clean like it was the day we got saved.